Well, producer Tom Danheiser has pulled out his Holiday Magic Co-Style CD with proceeds benefiting the various veterans groups around the country, groups that Tom is associated with, great people. And you can get to it by going to our website, thecoasttocoastam.com. It's a great CD, by the way, done by a number of Coast guests and even me. I did a song there for you and donated it to Tom and you know what? It's for a good cause. But all the information is at coasttocoastam.com in the highlight reel. It'll take you straight to the link at amazon.com where you can get it. But the name of the CD is Holiday Magic Coast Style. It's a great CD with, again, the proceeds benefiting veterans. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, and I shall try to guess guest number two. I'm one for one so far on who's behind the secret door. Okay, welcome back to our Thanksgiving show. I'm George Norrie, and what we're doing for you right now is Who's Behind the Secret Door. I'm one for one. I guessed Steve Quayle, and now I'm going to go and open up the door for number two. Hey guys back there, by the way, you got to get that door oiled, for crying out loud. Sounds like our Halloween door. Okay, guest number two, come on in.
Do you have any idea who this is, Mr. Norrie?
JC?
That is incorrect.
Boy, that's pretty darn close. You sound just like him. Boy, this is going to be a tough one. Are you a regular guest on Coast to Coast?
George, I have been on your program so many times, and you do not recognize me.
Is this your real voice, or are you doctoring it a little bit?
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
No, I'm not going to. I am not going to guess this.
My true voice.
Oh, I'm not going to guess this. Oh, at all. I'm giving up. Who are you? I hear a little music in the background. Uh-huh.
Well, George, I won't let you, I'll let you off the hook. This is Mr. Lobo.
Oh, God, that was good. I missed it. I'm one for two now.
My best JC for you.
That was excellent.
Thank you very much.
You're going to get accused of being JC with that kind of voice.
No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was that good.
Wow. Well, how have you been, Mr. Lobo?
Oh, wonderful. You know, we had a wonderful we like to call it Thanksgiving, you know. We opened up the portal, and we brought in a bat rat spider crab and carved it up with all the trimmings. It was delicious.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Let's talk movies tonight while I've got you this hour.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, condolences, Florence Henderson just passed away, 82 years old tonight.
Oh, you know, we've lost so many wonderful people in entertainment this year. 2016 has been a rough one.
Oh, my gosh.
And especially for fans of B-films, science fiction films, too, you know. I mean, Ted V. Michaels, who directed Astro Zombies and, you know, the Corpse Grinders, and he passed away very recently. I worked on one of his films. I played a Men in Black in one of his films. I was at MIB in Astro Zombies 3.
I noticed a couple things about movies over the past couple years, how they have changed dramatically since, you know, the 1930s and 40s or so, that they would never succeed today. So my question for you, Mr. Lobo, is what has changed the values and the likes and dislikes of people? The example is, I was watching a documentary on Fred Astaire. And, you know, Fred's movies were dancing and singing. And
musicals.
There is no way those movies would make it today like that. Why have things changed so dramatically where they would not succeed?
You know, that's a good question, George. You know, I think that a lot of times it's you know, they're following different audiences. Obviously today, you know, most people who go to the movies and spend their money are, to be honest, teenage girls, you know. So a lot of the movies sort of end up kind of being tailored to that audience. Even the science fiction films and the horror films have been kind of targeted to that audience, like, you know, Twilight, or, you know, even Doctor Who and things like that are now kind of more aimed at girls because all the boys are playing video games. But, you know, as far as musicals go, you know, everything comes around. I would love to see another a time of musicals. You know, I mean, I think in the 30s we had the Depression, and people just wanted to be as divorced from reality as possible, and musicals just fit the bill, you know.
I'd like to see them come back, too. I just don't think they will.
You know, you never know. You never can say never. I like to be hopeful, but, you know, we hosted Royal Wedding on Cinema Insomnia, which is one of my favorite Fred Astaire movies. And, you know, the techniques that they used where he's dancing up the ceiling, you know, he literally goes up.
Right,
the
when they were using this new technology.
There was new technology. It was the same technology they used, that MGM also used in 2001 to have them floating around the Discovery in that film. So, you know, that was, you know, in a way it was an effects movie. You know, there were some amazing things in that film, and it was a spectacle. And I think a lot of movies today, even though they're not musicals, I think that you still can bring people in just on spectacle. Just show me something I haven't seen before.
And television, too, has its different likes and dislikes. I know my son got me turned on to Breaking Bad. I mean, he had watched them all, and then when they went to Netflix in their entirety, I started watching one, then two, and then you get addicted to that. And then I told producer Tom Danheiser about Breaking Bad. He didn't even know what it was, and he watched his first episode. And now I think he's watched every episode five times each.
That's interesting. You know, the binge watching, that's something that's very kind of a current sort of affect because of the streaming television and on demand. You know, you have people who watch, you know, 20 episodes of a series in a weekend. You know, I find myself burning out where once I finish watching a series, I just never want to come back to it again.
No, you... You know, it's just the marvel of television. Now, are they getting their value out of television programs these days? I mean, in the old days when you just had three networks, that's it. But now you've got zillions of channels with programming all over the place.
The competition is fierce, and, you know, I think that's why a lot of these shows like Vikings and you know, Breaking Bad and The Walking Dead, you know, the stakes are very high. You know, the kind of budgets that are going into television shows are rival movies, and actually I think TV shows are faring better than movies because you're getting to get more in-depth with the characters. You're focusing more on story and character, and, you know, you can kind of tell that story over a long period of time and really grab on to people. So I think that in a way we're kind of having a renaissance with television, where there's a lot of very good, very high quality content. It makes it rough for people like me because you know,
you've got to study more.
$50, you know, but I think that you know, it is exciting because I think a lot of people people are consuming so much more than they used to. You know, like I said, they'll watch 20 episodes of a show on a weekend. You know, people are so hungry for content that, you know, they can barely keep up with the amount of media people are consuming. It's just so great. So in a way, there's an increase in demand, and that's always good for business.
Mr. Lobo is our special guest. He was behind the secret door. I did not guess who he was, so I'm one for two. And
you were going to nail it.
I used to, in the beginning when we started doing this, I would get upset mm-hmm. and kick myself for not knowing who the guest was, and I didn't want the guest to feel bad that I didn't guess who they were. But some people are very good at hiding their own voice, and you did a great job. You
Thank
got me.
You. I appreciate the compliment, George. That's very, very kind. You know, you make your living on your voice, and I will take that as a, I will take that compliment to the bank. So thank you.
I think the movie industry is still thriving, still doing great. Hacksaw Ridge, the movie with Mel Gibson. I have not seen yet, but people are telling me it's one of the greatest movies they've seen in a long
I've
time.
heard it's very good. Yes.
And I love that. I think Hollywood's creative. Have budgets gone down since the old original Star Wars days where they spent hundreds of millions of dollars?
No, I don't think so. It seems like budgets just keep getting bigger and bigger, but I think again there's more fragmentation. So you're having I think they're either made real cheap or real expensive. There's not, you know, like our country, I think there's not a lot in the middle, you know. I think that you're dealing with things that are independent films that are made for, you know, a couple of mil or less, and then you've got these bloated $200 million, $400 million epics, you know. But you know, I mean, I think that the product is good. I didn't see the Mel Gibson film, you know, but I've heard great things about it. But you know, the last Star Trek film I saw was one of the best of the new Star Treks. I think it was the best of the new Star Treks, and I really enjoyed it. So,
do you miss old time movies?
Absolutely, but you know, I don't have to miss them because I just go and watch them.
You watch them or play them on your network.
Absolutely. We play them on OSI 74, and you know, we're trying to dig up Sci-Fi Theater for you, George. I think we should pop that up on Sunday afternoons.
That's the one my father used to bring me to sit me down at and watch. He loved those shows. Science fiction theater.
One Step Beyond.
One Step Beyond. The Outer Limits.
Mm-hmm.
All those.
Absolutely.
Special channel devoted just to that would do well.
Absolutely. Sure. You know, Outer Limits and Twilight Zone, you know. Twilight Zone never gets old. I think that's what's amazing about the Twilight Zone is that a new generation finds the Twilight Zone, you know. Every generation finds the Twilight Zone.
Shows seem to go in a category and then they all catch on. So whether it's all space shows or all science fiction shows or all comedies, they seem to all go in groups. Why is that?
You know, really, I think producers just rip each other off. I think when something gets green-lighted, no, I mean, you know, it's where
they do.
The food is. You know, once there's a doctor show that's real popular, then everybody's got a doctor show, and then we've got 10 years of doctor shows. When Westerns were popular, everybody jumped on. You know, and as long as there's people putting on their Roy Rogers pajamas and Howdy Doody cowboy hats and watching that stuff, they'll just keep churning it out. And as soon as people don't stop buying the bed sheets and the breakfast cereal, they just move on to something else. You know, there's not a lot of bravery there. I think that's probably the biggest reason why things run in trends like that is that it's like striking gold. You know, everybody just tries to stake their claim.
How do you explain the success of The Simpsons, for crying out loud?
How do I explain the success of The Simpsons?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's a great show. They've done a marvelous job doing what they do. But, I mean, the things, what's it been on now, 20 years, something like that?
Unbelievable. Well, you know, I used to think that, I mean, I think they've kind of lost their edge as far as being on the pulse of pop culture. But, you know, I think The Simpsons took the place of Mad Magazine, you know. I mean, I think that they were at least in the beginning, the only ones that were really kind of even-handedly making fun of everyone, you know, the rich and the poor and the right and the left and, you know, that sort of even-handed satire where you're making fun of yourself and you're including yourself and you're making fun of everyone else, I think is really rare, you know. I think that it takes a lot of humility to write that kind of humor, and humility is in short supply.
Got a friend in Hollywood who says the next trend, and you talk about cost savings, will be virtual actors and actresses that they will put into regular movies.
George, I have a scary story for you.
All right.
When I got a gig with a Japanese management company, and they wanted to put Mr. Lobo in the movies, and the first thing they wanted me to do is to go to this place in Burbank and have my face scanned. So that if something happened to me, what their excuse is that, you know, I could have a young version of Mr. Lobo in a movie forever. But my mind immediately went to, well, what do they need me for if they can just generate me without me even being there
and not even pay you?
and not even pay me, right? Yeah. They could scan me and put me in a dozen movies, and I'll never get a royalty.
Jeez. Well, that's happening. They are actually working on things like that, and they think that in the future, you might even have an Oscar winner who's a virtual person. He's not even real.
Wow. And who, you know, I could just see it now. It's like Mr. Lobo can't accept his statuette tonight.
He's not here.
Live from Japan.
Or they'll hologram you or something.
Yes. They're terrifying. Yeah.
In terms of what's happening in terms of movie growth these days, what do you see out there? What's happening?
Movie growth. Well, like I said, I mean, I think that the thing that's the most surprising to me is that, you know, it seems to me that comedies seem to be becoming popular again. So, you know, I mean, you know, I think that that's something that is, you know, again, I think that that's a low budget kind of movie that you can make. And make the same kind of impact that the big budget movies do.
We need to see the Belushis again and the John Candys and the people
like
that.
Well, and you know, and they had a lot in common with The Simpsons, where they were doing really brilliant satire. You know, they really were aware of the human condition and did a lot of really, really self-aware, very smart stuff. You know, even though on the surface it seemed slapstick, you know, they were smart guys making Saturday Night Live in those days.
Mr. Lobo with us. We're going to take phone calls with him at the half here about films and about TV shows. What's your all-time favorite comedy film?
My all-time favorite comedy film. That's tough, but I might have to say The Blues Brothers.
Yeah, classic. Absolute classic. All-time favorite drama? Is that fair?
Ooh, all-time favorite drama. That's a really tough one for me. I would have to say straight drama. That's a tough one. The Philadelphia Story.
That was pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Interesting pick. That's the one with Tom Hanks, right?
No, that's a different one. That's a different Philadelphia Story. This is the one with Katharine Hepburn, is what I'm thinking.
Now, that's not the one with the ship that disappeared, right?
No, that's a Philadelphia experiment. Well, this could be a whole show.
Yeah.
Like who's on first with Philadelphia movies.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Favorite Christmas movie? I have two.
Let me see. Let me see if I can guess yours. You like A Christmas Story?
I like A Christmas Story. That's that's good. But I will preface it by saying I like old movies, the old black and whites.
Okay. All right, Miracle on 34th Street.
I like that, but It's a Wonderful Life.
Ah.
And the original Christmas Carol.
I like that, too. Is it the
the old
Alan
Scrooge.
Sim, as Scrooge, I think. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We did the Christmas Carol on Cinema Insomnia, you know, because it has ghosts in it, so it's technically a horror movie. That's a marvelous film.
I must have been 7 years old. My mother sat me down one night, Christmas Eve. We were watching television. We didn't have DVDs. We didn't have video or anything like that. We're watching TV, and she said, Georgie, I want you to watch this movie with me. You'll never forget it. 7 years old, Mr. Lobo.
Wow.
And it was It's a Wonderful Life. And I just
Life is a wonderful film. It's a wonderful film, and it holds up. And it did not do well. It was a bomb.
It was a bomb on the screen.
You're right. Yeah.
But man, didn't
do as great as people think it did, too. There's a lot of those that are appreciated more over time.
I bet they've made fortunes in royalties over time. We're going to come back in a moment. Let's take your phone calls on films and movies and TV shows. Let's have some fun with our guest behind the secret door, Mr. Lobo, whom I missed. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Next hour, we'll have another Who's Behind the Secret Door guest. This will be guest number 3. Right now, I'm 1 out of 2, having gotten, of course, Steve Quayle correct, but missing on Mr. Lobo, who tricked me with his JC voice Indeed.
That wasn't fair.
No, you did what you had to do. That's what it's all about. You got me, you tricked me, and you win. You win. You'll never be on the
but
program
you're such a nice
again.
Guy, George. I don't like to set you up like that, you know.
Well, that's why they do this. The producers love it. They get a kick if I don't guess it. You know, because generally I'm 50% plus, which is pretty good. You know, and you know, I was honing in. I mean, your name went through my head, but I didn't think it was you, so I didn't want to guess. And I kept missing
well,
with my
yeah. Well,
my
we do both know JC, so I thought it would be at least be someone that we both know.
Now watch the real JC call in and really confuse me.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm surprised he has it.
Okay, let's take some calls for the rest of this half hour. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland's with us. Welcome to the show. Hi, Frank.
Howdy, guys. Glad to be back with you. Mr. Lobo, I want to make some comments on my favorite TV shows, and then you can just top a compliment after that.
Okay.
Remember Friday nights, 1968, The Green Hornet? And the color TV just started pretty much.
Sure.
Green Hornet.
Yes.
And the time. And the
Barry
Gowan
with success of Batman, yes. Green Hornet. Absolutely.
Well, they canceled The Green Hornet and kept that silly Batman on. And then,
yeah.
You remember Forever Young James Dallin that didn't age for 20 years in the Time Tunnel, ABC Time Tunnel?
Oh, yeah.
And then my favorite TV show of all time. It's a tie between The Fugitive with David Janssen.
Loved
and Mission
it.
Impossible. And then the Green Hornet could have been a movie franchise, but that Seth Rogen, he messed that movie up. And I'm so angry about it still today. Who lent him the money to mess that franchise movie up?
I don't know if it's his fault. I mean, it was whoever hired him's fault. You know, I don't think it was bad casting, but I don't think it was the right team to put that together.
Was it a disaster?
It was a huge disaster. I think all the green superheroes are failing. The Green Lantern movie was terrible. The Green Hornet movie was terrible. I guess they shouldn't make a Green Arrow movie because that'll be terrible. I think that superhero movies are harder than people think. You know, I mean even with the last few Superman movies, you know, it's hard to capture that kind of a superhero, and I think you have to have the right approach for the right generation. You know, in the 60s, because of color television and because of the lack of trust of the young people, of the older generation, you know, the tongue-in-cheek Batman was the right approach, and it worked really well. Green Hornet was a great show. It had Bruce Lee as Kato. Unfortunately, I think it was, it's not as popular of a hero, you know, and... I think that with the Green Hornet, they think they waited too long. I mean, I think that Green Hornet's been out of circulation for so long that there isn't an audience of a large enough audience of fans waiting to jump on a Green Hornet movie. But if it were a good movie, it could have broken through. But I think your caller is right. They didn't have the right approach, and certainly not the right actor for the job.
Sometimes the most simplest of movies will succeed. Low budget. And make a lot of money. I think those are great success stories.
Absolutely. You know, I always think of Night of the Living Dead. I mean, that was just the whole town came together and made that movie for a very modest budget. I think $6,000. And that thing has made millions over the years. And, you know, it's still intense and relevant. It has a lot to say about our country and about each other and about our fears, and it definitely set the template for The Walking Dead and shows that were still and movies that we're still doing today.
Is The Walking Dead waning? I heard some kind of story about that people are getting tired with it. Is that true?
It could be. I'm a little tired of it. I mean, I read the comic books. It kind of wears you down, you know. It's kind of depressing, you know. So, I can see that at a certain point it's going to be hard, I think, to hold on to people, and especially if people want to start feeling good, you know, it might be the temperature might change. You know, we have we have a new president, we have a new world. Everything is going to be different, and the the zeitgeist may have a shift where people don't really want to watch a survivalist intense movie, a show like that.
I loved all the James Bond films. Of course, Sean Connery was still my favorite, but it was a great franchise.
Sean Connery was great, but you know, Roger Moore, in hindsight, I think, you know, going back to the
he
Roger
was pretty
Moore,
good.
Those were good in their own way, I think. And you know what? The thing about those movies that I miss is how dazzling the gadgets and the cars were. And today, the cars are so bland and boring, and gadgets are so stupid that it, you know, I mean, everybody's cell phone does everything, so it's hard to impress people with gadgets and cars in a movie. But I, you know, I miss that. I miss that wonder of, you know, what are M and Q gonna show James Bond, and how is he gonna use it? And I always got a wristwatch with a laser in it, and that's gonna be awesome when he finally uses that. So I mean, and it was a great father son thing. You know, I watched the James Bond movies with my dad, and I think a lot of people have that kind of bonding. You know. Father-son bonding with those films.
Speaking of father-son bonding, my dad took me to one old one. You're going to love this. We may have talked about it on the last time you were on with me, Mr. Lobo. The Mysterians, that Japanese film.
Oh, yeah.
Loved it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It was a classic. That was in, what were their monster movies? Gorgo and things like that, right?
Gorgo, yes.
See, they did a lot after World War II when they got hit by the atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They came up with movies of mutants, things that were mutants because of the radiation fallout.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's another thing where the world sort of changed, the political climate changed, technology changed. It was the atomic age, and we were scared of the potential of this giant monster that we had among us, which was the atomic bomb. And I think that what better way to symbolize that than with a literal giant monster, you know, that just gobbles up power and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and is unstoppable.
Next up, we go to David in Sonora, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, David, happy Thanksgiving.
Great station you got. They just got you on FM up here in Sonora.
Super.
And I can't stop listening to you. Great, great station.
Thank you, David.
How about this? You remember Clutch Cargo?
Oh, with just the moving lips. Loved it.
With the human
absolutely.
Lips in the cartoon.
Yes. That process, I believe, was called Ultravox, but they would basically... they would superimpose these sort of red lips on every character, human lips on cartoon characters. Yes, absolutely terrifying.
Yeah,
bedwetting nightmares.
Had a lot. They had a lot of movies, cartoons in that. But you were talking about mutants. How about Mothra? You remember that one?
Yes.
Mothra, yes.
Huge.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's a great
That, you know, not a lot of people know about that one. I play music, so I wrote a song called Mothra.
I love it. Yeah. Old
Mothra,
classics were great.
Mothra is actually a very, you know, it was a reversal on Godzilla. You know, it was the first Mothra was in full color. It had music. It was almost a musical to where they had the Peanuts, which was a popular singing group, portraying the twin fairies, tiny twin fairies that would sing to Mothra. And they were topping the pop charts in Japan at the time, and they just sort of wrote them into the movie. And, you know, whereas Godzilla, the first Godzilla, is very heavy and kind of has that, it's black and white and has that sort of theme of Hiroshima. Mothra is a fun movie and very upbeat and positive and colorful and just a really fun movie. I would, you know, if I had to watch the first Godzilla or the first Mothra with a crowd, I'd choose the first Mothra any day of the week.
In Clutch Cargo, they had a couple animated characters. I think it was a dog or something. Spinner,
Paddlefoot, I think. Yeah,
and Spinner. Remember?
Yep, Spinner. Yep.
God, they were classics. Do you remember the?
I always liked Space Angel better than Clutch Cargo. He was like the outer space version of Clutch Cargo.
I don't remember that one.
Space Angel, I think it was Scott McCloud, I think was his real name, and he had an eye patch. He kind of looked like Nick Fury. He had an eye patch, and then he had a space suit, and then there was Star Trek must have stole Scotty right from this guy, but his engineer was a Scottish guy, and then he had a lady first officer, and they flew their rocket across the galaxies and had weird lips that didn't make sense with the rest of the way they were drawn.
You remember the cartoon Tom Terrific?
He'd take a pill, right? Wouldn't he take like a pill and become super?
Something would happen to him, and he could morph himself, but he always had like a funny tin can on his head. He would become part of anything. Like, he could become part of a chair. You'd see his face on the chair in the corner. he could be anything.
He was like Peter Sellers.
Yeah, if he wanted to be a rock, he would become a rock.
No, because he's so good.
Yeah, Tom Terrific.
Wow. I have to find that. I've only seen that in little bits. I've always been intrigued by Tom Terrific.
Did you have Captain Kangaroo, or was that just in Detroit?
Oh, no. I loved Captain Kangaroo. That was a big influence on Mr. Lovell.
I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I used to camp out under the coffee table and watch Captain Kangaroo, and I was so into it that I got left home by myself. My parents left. They didn't even know I was in the house because I was so in. They just turned off the TV, went out the door, and drove away, and I was hypnotized by Captain Kangaroo, so I didn't even make a noise.
Remember Soupy Sales?
I do not remember Soupy Sales. I know the stories of his show. But I know that he told famously told the kids to go into their mom and dad's wallets and take all the pictures of presidents and mail it to him, and got in serious trouble.
Yes, he sure did. He started in Detroit on WXYZ television, made his way to Hollywood.
He was funny.
Funny guy, he was.
Yeah.
Popeye.
Popeye, yes, we had a sailor. You know, a lot of local hosts were sailors. There were a lot of these kind of like Salty Sam.
Yeah,
you know, we had Captain Mitch, and he had like a captain's wheel, and he was the local guy in Northern California who showed the Popeye cartoons, and that story is duplicated across the country. Whoever syndicated that package of cartoons probably had a local host dressed.
You're right. That was a great idea. I think every market had that host dressed up like a sailor and had them introduce the Popeye cartoons.
Yep.
That was part of the deal, I guess. Keith in Cleveland, Ohio.
I always wanted to re-edit the Popeye cartoons and have it cartoon end right after Popeye gets beaten up and before the spinach, and just have Bluto cartoons. Rename them Bluto cartoons.
And Wimpy, remember him?
Yes, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
You got it.
And what's interesting about it is that wimp, the term wimp, is directly referencing Wimpy from the Popeye cartoon.
And if we had any foresight, we would have realized, because Wimpy was saying those things about hamburgers before McDonald's and fast food, somebody should have watched that and said, this guy's obsessed with hamburgers. Let's do a hamburger franchise all over the place. Call it Wimpy's.
Oh, I know. Wow, that would have been amazing. There should have been a... I mean, we have Popeye's chicken. We can't have a Wimpy's hamburger.
Wimpy's hamburgers, if we had started it, we would have beaten McDonald's. God knows what would have happened since then.
Oh.
We missed it.
You know, we need that time. We need the time tunnel so we can go back.
Keith in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Keith.
Hello, gentlemen. This is a very interesting show.
Yes, sir.
Talking about topics that we can be a little obsessed about and with. I've been obsessed with a certain movie since I was a kid. And every year when it comes on once a year, I always have to watch it. The Wizard of Oz.
Ah, yes. We were just talking about that. Elaborate again, Mr. Lobo. It was not that successful in the beginning.
It was not that successful, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it got very popular. And then after the Pink Floyd album came out, everybody wanted to play The Wizard of Oz and the Pink Floyd, The Dark Side of the Moon, at the same time to see how it syncs up.
Favorite witch line? I'll get you, my pretty.
And your little dog, too. Yeah, of course.
And then that cackle laugh.
I was scared of the flying monkeys. That was just sheer stark
The monkeys terror. Didn't scare me. The scene that scared me as a kid was the black and white photo when she was being sucked up, when the house was being sucked up by the tornado, and you saw the evil witch, you know, on her broom, you know, going outside the window. I didn't like that. And that look. I didn't like that look. I just didn't like it.
I can understand that. Now, have you ever heard the urban legend that one of the dwarves hung themselves? And then if you watch the movie very carefully in the woods, you can see a dwarf that hung himself in the movie in the very background?
No. No, yeah, I didn't know about
that.
That's
one of those, like, spooky urban legend things. But I don't know if that's true or not. It might just be something, a piece of set decoration or something. But apparently, if you watch The Wizard of Oz carefully, there's a hung a munchkin in the background.
There was another rumor about a little boy ghost that was in Two's Company, something like that.
No, it was Three Men and a Baby.
Three Men and a Baby.
Directed by Leonard Nimoy, of all people.
Selleck was in that one, right?
And there was a weird shadow outside the window of a person, but it actually was a stagehand. I think they actually debunked that. I think it was a person who worked on the movie. They weren't really in a real house. It was a set of an apartment. So he was just standing right outside the window while they were shooting.
We need more fun like that, Mr. Lobo. People need an escape.
Absolutely. Those things are great. I think Google has ruined everything. I want more mystery in my life.
Yeah, me too. How can people watch what you do?
Yes, they can go to OSI74.com. That is my new channel. And I also have CinemaInsomnia.com. And they can dig right into a show right on the front page if they've never seen it before. And I'm in syndication still. A lot of small market, low-power TV stations are still running Cinema Insomnia at 1 and 2 in the morning. So if you're real lucky, you might catch Mr. Lobo in Cinema Insomnia.
Let's get you back where I don't have to guess who you are. I can properly introduce you, all right?
That sounds great, George. Absolutely. And who knows what state I'll be in. Maybe I'll be guessing who you are.
You never know. You never know. Thanks again. Mr. Lobo was our guest behind the secret door. He was number two. I didn't get it. He was able to change his voice enough where I just couldn't get it. So I'm one for two so far. There'll be two more guests ahead. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.